You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, this morning we're wrapping up the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Making Change. And here's what this series is about. We are seeking God to make significant changes in the way we manage the financial resources that God has entrusted to us. So we've been talking about getting healthy financially. We've been talking about honoring God with our resources. This is about spiritual growth. This is about the condition of your soul, your heart. If you're new to our church, we've actually never done a series before just on finances. We talk about that quite often in the giving moment during our service. Of course, we're a generous church and we have special offerings throughout the year. But this is our first time ever to take a few weeks to just teach on the principles of God's word that can help us better honor him with our finances and be financially healthy. So let me review where we've been. 2 weeks ago, we started with our first message called Less is More. And we talked about this idea that we want to reject this lie of our culture that the more stuff we have, the happier we're going to be. Remember the scripture from Ecclesiastes that says better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing the wind. Sometimes less is more. And then last week we talked about how stress is bad. Financial stress is bad. Being in debt up to your eyeballs, having no financial margin and room to breathe in your life is bad. We want less financial stress in our marriages, in our homes. And so we need to get healthy financially. Today, we're going to talk about how giving is good. Everybody say giving is good. Yes, it is. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 is saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. He's giving them his farewell when he reminds them of this. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Apostle Paul said, "You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus." He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." He reminds them of the very words of Jesus, who says it's more of a blessing to give than to receive. Now, it's still a blessing to receive. It's just that it's even more of a blessing to give. How many of you have experienced the joy, the deeper joy of blessing someone else with your giving? Anybody ever experienced that before? You've known the joy of generosity. Yes, many of us have experienced this. Some of you, you're gift givers by nature. Like one of your love languages is you love giving gifts. You're one of those people, you pay attention to what people like. You know what stores they shop at. You put a lot of thoughts into gifts. My wife is that way. She's a great gift giver. If you ever get a gift from my wife, you're going to know she put a lot of thought into it. She thought about something that would match your personality. She found out the kind of things that you love. It's going to come presented in a box that's all wrapped up with a beautiful bow. You're going to be afraid to even open it. You don't want to mess it up because it's so nice. She is like a walking Pinterest board, this woman, okay? If you get a present from me and Amy, you're going to know right away that I had nothing to do with it just by the sheer fact of the presentation of it. You're like, Jeremy didn't do this at all. She's just a gift giver. Some of you parents, you know the joy of watching your kids open presents at Christmas time. Yeah, it's nice to receive some gifts for yourself, but the joy of giving to your kids. Some of you in the past, you've been able to help family and friends who were in need. You were able to step up and meet a need, maybe financially, or to give something of yourself. And you felt the joy. The joy that came with being generous, of being to help someone else. Many of you, you're faithful givers. This is a generous church, and you've participated in some of our special offerings. I mean, you already give week in and week out to honor God with your giving, but maybe you've given in a special Christmas offering, or you've helped us buy backpacks for the backpack drive in the past for kids who need backpacks for school and school supplies, or maybe you've helped us plant other churches so that other communities could have a life-giving church like ours, and you've given toward that, or you've given to help us build homes for children in Africa, things like that. And you've discovered the joy of giving, to know that your generosity has made a difference in somebody's life. It's a blessing to receive. It's just that it's more of a blessing to give. Now, I've been on the receiving end of giving. I've been on that end, and I know it is a blessing. Many of you have heard some of our story before. Me and Amy, we moved to Westchester about 4 years ago, over 4 years ago. And the very first week, we were here. We lost my father-in-law tragically. 58 years old, had a massive heart attack. We had to turn right back around, go back up to Buffalo, New York for his funeral. And then we got back to Westchester. And many of our friends and family, they knew that we had taken this leap of faith to come to this area to start a church. And so they began to send cards and prayers and well wishes. But I've never experienced anything like this before. The cards they sent to us, they didn't just send cards. They sent checks. I mean, every day we went to the mailbox, we were just blown away. We were in tears every day as friends and family just poured out love on us and sent, you know, cards with money. And I'm not just talking about a few hundred dollars. I mean, to the level that they built our savings in just a few weeks. I mean, Amy and I were just astounded. It's amazing to be on the blessing end of receiving. But can I tell you what's even better than that? You know what's even better than that is having come through that season of life, and now God is we're able to do something to bless others. I mean, to be planning something like Serve Day, to know that we're going to help kids with basic things like kids whose parents are struggling to even buy them a backpack full of school supplies, and to know that God allows me to get to plan something like that. Can I tell you, I was talking to the director of the Sharing Shelf, Deborah, who organizes the backpack drive for all of Westchester County every year, and I said, Deborah, just dream a little bit bigger this year. We want to bless these kids. I said, what's something that these kids need that kind of slips through the cracks at times? And she said, well, sometimes these kids, their parents, you know, don't even have basic things like toiletries for them. I said, add that to the budget. We're going to take care of those kids. I said, now, what's something else that we can do? And she goes, you know, you won't believe this, Pastor Jeremy, but one of the requests that we get quite often is just for underwear. A lot of these parents need underwear for their kids. I said, you add that to the budget. We're going to make sure those kids all get some underwear in their backpacks. Come on. It's just fun to give. It's fun to give, to know that when we do Serve Day, we're going to be giving out, you know, boxes of groceries to families who are in need, who are struggling to even provide groceries for their families. We're going to bless these kids with a sports camp. How many of you know it's a blessing to receive, but it's even more of a blessing to give? I've witnessed that and experienced that in my own life. There is a joy and fulfillment in being used by God when you give that you can't experience any other way. Generosity, it's a gift. It's a gift to us. So giving is good. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he's teaching the Corinthian Christians about generosity. And he's teaching them this principle of sowing and reaping and this idea that the more generous we are when we sow, the more generous we reap in life. And so he's teaching them about the blessing of being a giver. And he says this to them, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. We will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Paul says there's a blessing that will come upon you when you live generously. In fact, God will enlarge you to make you even more generous. Your generosity will also cause others to give thanks to God. Stop and think about that for a moment. Imagine your life being used. Imagine you becoming such a generous person that you're able to step up and meet somebody's need, and when they receive it, they not only thank you, but they experience it as the blessing of God in their life. They see how God worked through you. Can you imagine that? What a great thing to think about. You know what the scripture says? Jesus said that people will see your good works and glorify who? Not you, your Father in heaven. Imagine you being used in such a special way that your generosity would bless someone, that they would actually see the hand of God in it. That's what Paul says. When you live a generous life, that's the kind of thing that happens. God expands you. He entrusts you with more. His blessing comes upon you. So I think most of us long to be more generous. I think most of us, we see the beauty and the goodness and generosity. It doesn't matter where you are on the spiritual journey, whether you consider yourself to be a devoted follower of Christ or whether you're just exploring spirituality. I think we see the collective wisdom and goodness in living generous lives. And so if we know that it's more of a blessing to give than to receive, doesn't it beg the question, why don't we do this more often? You know, why don't we do this more often? And why don't we do this to an even greater level? Doesn't it make you think about that? And I think I know a few answers why. Even though we see the goodness and generosity, we don't embrace this to an even greater level. Many people are struggling financially. I mean, your heart's in the right place. You actually really want to do more to give to others. It's just that things are tight. There's no margin. You don't have the ability to do this. And so many people, being broke keeps them from being generous. And can I just tell you, this is why generosity is kind of the secret sauce in the middle of all that we've been teaching the past few weeks. Because if you're spending more money than you're making, if you're drowning in consumer debt, if you're swimming in this culture of materialism and it's affecting you, it's really hard to be generous. In order to be generous, generous, you have to get those other things in order. Are you tracking with me this morning? That's why God places generosity right smack in the middle of all these other principles we've been teaching the last few weeks. I think many of us, one of the things that keeps us from being more generous is we've seen this message abused. Sadly, we hear stories in the news about you know, churches mishandling finances. I mean, just, you know, this past week, there was a story in the news about a televangelist asking people to give millions of dollars to buy him a private jet. And so people get turned off by that kind of thing, and they don't want to give to the church. Can I tell you, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? Just because people have abused these principles doesn't mean that we wholesale walk away from the things that God has called us to do. God has still called us to be generous. I can tell you another reason. Many people live with a scarcity mindset. Maybe some of you grew up and you didn't have a lot of resources. Maybe you came from a home that experienced poverty, and now you've made it, and you're doing okay in your career, but you still have a scarcity mindset. Some people, that's how they think about blessing and resources. You know, there's only so much to go around. I have to really be careful. I'll be generous one day when I'm really set over here. It's a scarcity mindset. It's this idea that the resources of the world are like a pie, and if I give you a slice, it's one less slice for me. A lot of people think that way, but can I tell you, the biblical idea of blessing is it's a flow. It's a flow of blessing. God has all of the resources in the world, and you can't exhaust them, and he gave it to you to put it through you to someone else. The biblical idea of blessing is there's enough for you, and there's so much for you that it overflows so you can bless someone else. Are you with me this morning? We have to learn to rethink. We have to learn to retrain our minds. God is a God of blessing. God is a God of overflow. You are blessed to be a blessing. And so whenever you give, you're a blessing in someone's life. Whenever you give, you become the expression, the conduit of God's blessing. And whenever you give, you will always be blessed. You'll always be blessed. There's a peace. There's a sense of satisfaction. There's a sense of fulfillment and purpose that can only come when we live generous lives. I mean, God might bless you financially. I wish I could promise that's going to happen every time. Some people, when they give, it's almost like playing the divine lottery. Well, if I keep giving enough times, eventually I'll hit the jackpot and God will bless me and pour out all this money on me. Well, you know, I can't tell you for sure. Sometimes I've seen that in my life. God has blessed me back financially many times. But can I tell you, God will bless you in ways that you can't put a price tag on? How many of you know you can't put a price tag on your health? How many of you know you can't put a price tag on peace in your home? If you're married, peace in your marriage. How many of you know you can't put a price tag on the presence of God in your life? How many of you know that you can't put a price tag on God's protection over your life? God will bless you in ways that you can't even calculate the value of his blessing in your life when you embrace this. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 through 25. This is from the Message paraphrase. Let me read this to you. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. See, it's really not about how much money you have. It's about a mindset. It's really not about how much money you have in the bank account. It's about the condition of your soul. Do you know you can be a generous person with a big soul, a big heart, that your world can be big simply by becoming generous? Did you know right now you can embrace that kind of mindset? God, you have every resource that I need, and I trust that not only are you going to provide for me, but you're going to make me someone who's blessed to be a blessing. It's a mindset thing. It's a way of seeing the world. There are people who have plenty of resources and still they have very small, stingy eyesight. They see the world as being, you know, it's a closed circuit. There's only so much to go around. And so when you live a generous life, your heart gets expanded. Your soul gets expanded. Giving is good. It's a blessing to receive, but it's more blessed to give than to receive. So if blessing is good, and I think we can all agree it's a good thing, then I want to do more of it. I want to embrace this in a greater way. I want to grow in my generosity. Can I tell you, I'm preaching to myself this morning. Every year, I want to give more than the year before. Every year, I want to look back over the year before and say, I want to give even more to others, to those in need, to the kingdom of God. I can tell you, as we've been teaching through this series, I've been examining myself, my own heart's motives, the way we're handling our resources. I want to do better. I want to honor God more. So I want to give you three truths to help us grow in generosity. I want to encourage you to take some notes. When you came in, you should have received a note sheet. If you have the Redemption app on your phone, there's a little spot on there where you can take some notes. If you don't have the app, you can get it from the website. But three truths to help us grow in generosity. Some practical things we can do. Here's the first one. Number one, trust God with the tithe. We want to trust God with the tithe. Many of you, if you've been here for some time, you hear every Sunday, you hear us receive tithes and offerings. There's that moment in the service where we honor God in our giving, and you hear this word tithe. Let's talk about what that means. We're going to look at a scripture, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. This is from the Old Testament. It says this, 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. So this is from the Old Testament. This is where the principle of tithing is kind of codified in the law of God. But actually, the principle of tithing predates the Old Covenant. It's a thread that runs all throughout the scripture. Jesus even affirms the tithe in the New Testament. And so how does this work? What is this all about? What is the tithe? Well, tithe comes from the Hebrew word ma'asar, which means 1/10. So how does this work in modern times? Obviously, we don't live in an agricultural society where we're gonna bring, you know, the fruit of our trees, you know, and our grain and our livestock, our sheep and our goats, that kind of thing. This is talking about the way we handle money. So if I have $100, then if I'm a tither, I understand that the first 10 of that actually doesn't belong to me. I'm going to return that to God, the first 10, to honor him as an act of worship. Yes, 10%. Now look at this, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Let me show you another scripture. He says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now what is the storehouse of God in the New Testament? What is the local house of God in the New Testament? It's the church, right? The church of Jesus Christ. We bring the tithe into the church that there may be food in my house. Here's another spiritual picture. What do we do when we come to church? We come to be nourished spiritually, right? We come to receive the word of God. So bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Only place in all of scripture where God says, test me. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. Now, this is the only place in scripture where God gives us permission to test him, to trust him, to take this leap of faith and test him. Why is that? Probably because God knows us and he knows that we're going to be freaked out by the idea of giving 10% of our income. Are you with me this morning? I know this is overwhelming. Some of you are thinking, oh my gosh, 10%. And so if you've been with us through this series, you're like, okay, Pastor Jeremy, so you taught in week one how we're supposed to spend less and like declutter our lives. And then you talked about getting out of debt. And now on top of all that, we're supposed to give away 10% of our income. Like, stop the bus. Hello. How does this work? And some of you are thinking, in order to do something like that, I would have to rearrange my whole life around God's purposes. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what we're saying this morning. In order to do something like this, you would have to rearrange your life around God's purposes. You would have to actually take some steps to put God first with the tithe. Kind of like what we do every day as believers, as we've learned to give God the first part of our day. Many of you get up and you give the first part of your day to God in worship, or you read your Bible, or you do some kind of devotion. Kind of like you did today, you voted with your feet by being in church on a Sunday morning, the first day of the week. You've set aside this time on the first day of the week to honor God. Kind of like we do at the beginning of the year. If you've been in our church in January, we always have a time of prayer and fasting at the beginning of the year to give the first part of our year to God. That's the principle of the tithe. See, when we seek, the idea is we're going to seek and honor God with the first part of what he entrusts to us as an act of worship. We're going to give that back to him. So many of you are thinking right now, well, I would have to rearrange a lot to do something like that. Yes, you would. Some of you are thinking, well, that would be a great step of faith for me to do something like that, Pastor. Yes, it would. See, when we trust God with the tithe, it's a step of faith. It causes us to be more dependent on him. It causes us to place our trust in him, to come to this place of saying, God, I'm depending on you. And when you test God in this area, he will prove himself faithful. I shared a little bit about this last week, and I said, Amy and I, our whole adult lives, we've given over 10% back to the ministry, back to the kingdom of God. On top of that, whenever we receive a special offering for something like Serve Day, we never ask you to give to something that we don't give to. We support a World Vision Child. We try to be generous to friends in need and family in need all throughout the year. Can I tell you God has been faithful? Can I tell you that you cannot outgive God? Can I tell you that everywhere we've ever been, wherever stop we've been at in ministry, when we've practiced this, the hand of God has been with us and he's provided for us? I can teach this with accountability and with confidence this morning. morning because I've seen the blessing of God in my life. And so when you trust God with this, he will bless you. And so we have to come to this place of saying, God, I will worship God with my first and best and trust him to bless the rest. I'm going to worship him with my first and my best. We have to get to this point of believing, God, you can do more with 90%. You can do more with 90% that's blessed than me having 100% all to myself. Now, let me encourage you this morning, okay? I told you at the beginning of this series, this is going to be a low pressure series. We're not here to pressure you. We want something for you, not from you. Can I just encourage you this morning and tell you, I know some of you are thinking this morning, well, Pastor Jeremy, that's just something you do because you're a pastor and you're extra spiritual. You're in this special category. It's okay. I know some of you are thinking that. Can I tell you that there are other people in our church, other families in our church that believe in this principle of tithing? Can I tell you it's the reason we have a church? Can I tell you it's the reason we're able to pay the rent at the theater? We're able to pay our staff. It's the reason that we're able to cover all of the business expenses that every local church has. Did you know that a church has all the expenses of a small business? Can I tell you, it's the reason that our church is able to be generous. It's the reason that we're able to tithe 10% back to missions, that our church is committed to giving 10% back to missions. It's the reason we're able to do things like Serve Day. Can I tell you the truth that a broke church, a church that can't afford to pay its own bills, is a church that can't afford to be generous in the community. And because we have people who believe in this principle, our church is thriving and growing. We're reaching people in the community, we're able to do more. It's more blessed to give than to receive. This is a good thing. Can I encourage you this morning, if this is overwhelming for you, if you don't even know where to start, just set a goal. Just set a goal. You know, 10% is recognized as the standard in giving for Christians for thousands of years. In fact, some people will say, well, isn't that just an Old Testament principle? Well, I'll tell you this, in the New Testament, Jesus affirms the tithe, but there's no place in the New Testament where he commands it or he says something like, if you don't tithe, you're going to go to hell or something like that. No, that's not in the New Testament. But can I tell you that in the New Testament, what do we see? The very first believers giving everything away to each other. Everything away. You know what we see? We see the apostles giving everything, even their lives. Hey, 10% might not be so bad. Compared to the New Testament, they gave everything away. You might want to stick with the Old Testament on this one. Just read the New Testament. Trust me. And so here's the idea. It's not about obligation or guilt or pressure. Here's the thing. Set a goal. Set a goal. If you're married, begin a conversation to talk about this. How can we better honor God with our giving, with our generosity? I can tell you this whole principle of tithing, I've seen it work. I've seen God's blessing in my life. I've known the satisfaction of honoring God in my giving. And I want to encourage you to embrace this principle. Here's the second thing. Number two, plan your generosity. Plan your generosity. So we're going to trust God with the tithe. We're also going to plan our generosity. Now, we make plans to spend all the time, don't we? We make plans to acquire. Many of you, you know, if you're going to go on a special vacation or make a special purchase, a new car, something like that, then you set aside money to make that purchase. Many of you, you keep an eye out for sales, don't you? Come on, ladies. You know the time of month that the stores that you shop at are going to email you some coupons. You watch out for that stuff, and you always double check Amazon to make sure you got the best price. Come on, that ought to be personal finance 101 for the year 2018. Pay off debt, grow your savings, always check Amazon. Always check Amazon. Can I get an amen, somebody? And so you always make sure you're getting the best deal, but you have a plan to acquire, right? And so here's the question, how can we plan to give more? How can we plan to be generous? If it's more blessed, if the blessing of God is on your life when you give, then how do we plan to be more generous? Look at this scripture. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 8 says this, but generous people plan to do what is generous and they stand firm in their generosity. What's Isaiah telling us? He's telling us that generous people planned to be generous. It was intentional. It didn't happen by accident and they stand firm in their generosity. They've decided, I'm going to be this kind of person. They made a decision in advance and they stand firm in it. It's not accidental. It's intentional. Can I just tell you this morning, you don't end up accidentally generous. You do not end up, you can accidentally be in debt. You can accidentally be frivolous with your money. You can act, you know, you can accidentally be materialistic, but you don't accidentally end up generous. This is something you have to plan to do. So let me give you some examples this morning. I've had people come to me when we've had special projects like the Serve Day or the Christmas offering, and I've had people pull me inside and say, you know, Pastor, we've been thinking about this and praying about this. And this is, we have a special amount that we set aside that we want to bless those in need. They were intentional. They, they put some thought into it. There was a lady named Sharon early on when our church was just a baby little church plant, not even off the ground. We weren't having Sunday morning services yet. We were meeting on Sunday nights. There was a lady named Sharon, didn't even live here. One of our supporters from who lives in another city used to send funds to our church. Regularly. In fact, she told me, Pastor, God is blessing my business right now. He's blessing my career, and I've been getting some nice commissions. And she made a decision. She planned to bless our church plant. Can I tell you, she was a great blessing to us early on because she had made a plan. It was very intentional for her. Many of you have embraced this by setting up a recurring donation to the church. Something as simple as that. Many of us, we pay our light bills, our credit cards. You know, mine's all set up automatically. I'm not going to miss a payment, right? Some of you have said, I'm going to do that very same thing with honoring God, with my giving. I'm gonna make sure I have a recurring gift set up. If I can pay all my other bills that way, then I can prioritize my generosity that way. That's what this looks like. Let me tell you another story. My dad, he's a pastor down in the New Orleans area. He had a guy in his church named Brother Scott. And Brother Scott always said for years he was going to pay the church mortgage off. My dad said, well, that sounds pretty good. And, you know, he had promised for a while, and we were beginning to wonder if he was ever going to do it. And he always said, whenever I retire, I'm going to pay the church mortgage off. Well, guess what? When Brother Scott finally retired, guess what he did? He paid the church mortgage off. It was an amazing thing. He had made a plan to do this. He wasn't the most wealthy guy in the world, but he was intentional. He had carved out some space to make this happen, and he blessed the church in an amazing way. Now, let me just tell you the rest of the story. It wasn't long after that Hurricane Katrina hit that area. Can I tell you that one of the reasons my dad's church was resilient through that time was because Brother Scott had made a plan to bless the church. Come on, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We're going to get intentional about this. And so giving is not just something we do, but being generous is who we are. You've got to make this decision. Can I tell you, for me and Amy, as I've shared about how we've been able to give over 10%, I'll tell you why. We don't each month look at what came in, our income, and look at our expenses and say, well, let's figure out what we can do if we can give to God's work. Let's see how much came in. How many bills do we have? No. We have decided. We have decided, like, this is prioritized. This is about bringing our first fruits. For us, it's not a discussion. This is something we have decided to do. Can I tell you, church? There are some decisions in life that you make that don't determine where you end up. They actually determine what kind of person you become. Oh, somebody needs to write that down this morning. That was worth the price of admission. There are some decisions that you make in life. They don't just determine where you end up. They actually determine what kind of person you become in the process. And so we have to get to this place of saying, this is who we are. This is part of our identity as believers, as those who seek to follow Jesus and honor him. And we're going to decide. We're going to make a plan to be generous because this is who we are. You ever met somebody who was really generous and they inspired you and you thought, man, I want to be more like that person? Can I tell you, they didn't accidentally get that way. They made a decision. They kept making decisions to end up that way, and they became a generous person. So we have to make a plan. Okay, here's the third thing. We have to start being generous now. Everybody say now. So we're going to trust God with the tithe. We're going to plan our generosity, okay? But the last thing we're going to do, the third thing is we're going to start being generous now. We're talking about some truths to help us grow in generosity. Here's the thing. We're not going to wait until we get out of debt to start being generous. We're not going to wait until we retire one day. We're not going to wait till the kids' college education is paid for. We're not going to wait till one day when I get that promotion or I win the lottery or whatever. No. We're not going to wait. We're going to start doing this now. And this is the supernatural part. This is the part where you trust God. You begin doing something now, and he accelerates the process. I'm telling you, generosity, it's the secret sauce in this whole thing of being financially healthy and honoring God with your resources. Because as I said before, if you're broke, if you're up to your eyeballs in debt, if you're spending frivolously, you can't afford to be generous. But if you start being generous now, it'll start giving you some clarity and some perspective. And it's a step of faith. How many of you know that God loves faith and God honors faith? So when you start embracing generosity now, the blessing of God accelerates this process. The Apostle Paul said this to Philemon in his letter to Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. He said, and I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. This is my prayer for you as well. The generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. So he says, I want to see you activate your faith. I want to see you start giving and being generous now. Can I tell you the truth that some of the most generous people I know, I mean people who have blessed me personally, I've been shocked because they weren't the people who had the most resources. They weren't the most likely people who you would think would be able to give, but they were people who made the choice to start giving now, to be generous now. really blown me away. You know, I've been to some nations where people didn't have much of anything, but they were willing to give you everything. They would give you the shirt off their back. Some of the most generous people, most generous cultures I've experienced were in third world countries, developing nations. Some of you, this is an international church. You've come from developing nations like that, and you understand this. I've experienced people who, compared to me, as a Western American wealthy person, they were generous. They were willing to give everything. Why? Because they had made the decision to be generous now. They weren't going to wait. Can I just tell you that I've watched my parents live this out for over 40-something years in ministry. They've never pastored a big church, never made a whole lot of money. But you know, 40-something years ago, they made the decision, we're going to be generous now. And if they're known for anything, they're givers. They're giving to people all the time. And here's the beautiful thing. They didn't wait. If they would have waited, they would have never gotten started. Now they can look back in over 40-something years, they can see how God has used their lives to bless other people. Countless stories, countless testimonies, countless lives that have been touched because they made a decision. We're not going to wait to be generous. We're going to embrace this now and live this way. Now look at the legacy they have. Now look at the memories they have. Do you get this morning, church? We've got to embrace this now. I want something for you, not something from you. Because if you wait to do this one day, you'll never do this. If you wait to be a generous person one day when things are set, when you've made your money, when you've arrived in your career, when you've got to this place, you'll never start. Now is the day to embrace this. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So God, we're going to embrace this principle now. And we're going to start, maybe you're going to start simple. Once again, I know that, you know, people are in all different places across the financial spectrum. I know that, you know, finances are a very personal thing. So this message, this whole series, it lands on everybody at different places and different seasons of life. But we want to embrace this, whatever this looks like for you. Get a conversation going. Think about this prayerfully. Consider your level of giving now and saying, God, I want to be a generous person and I want to do that now. Can I just encourage the parents in this room, start teaching your kids to be generous now. Start now. You know, Christmas time's a great time. Buy them a little bit less junk and let them adopt a family in need. Let them pick out something they want to bless a child in another country with. It's a great opportunity to teach them generosity. My parents used to take a little bit of our birthday money and we learned how to bring it to church and tithe in Sunday school. But it taught us how to give. Start teaching your kids now and they'll be even more generous when they get older. It'll be easier for them to learn this. Now is the time to embrace this. And so this morning, I want to pray for you. We're going to pray in just a moment, but can I just encourage you and tell you, I want something for you, not from you, okay? This whole series, we want you to live with the blessing of God. We want families and young professionals who we want you to be living with the blessing of God on your finances. We want to see you honoring God in every area of your lives. As your pastor, as your friend, as a brother in Christ, I want to see you come to experience this blessing in your life. I don't want to see you drowning in debt. I don't want to see you stressed out all the time. I don't want to see you spending money on things you don't need to impress people you don't like. I want to see you live with joy and peace. I want to see you experience the joy of living a generous life. There's a sense of satisfaction. There's a sense of purpose. There's a sense of goodness that will come in your life when you embrace this gift. How many of you know that generosity is actually a gift that God gives us? We get to experience a little bit of His work in this world. We get to embrace it in a new way when we're generous. Can I just tell you this morning that God didn't invent giving for Himself? Newsflash, He's God. He has everything. God invented this idea of generosity for us. Jesus talked a lot about money. He talked a lot about the condition of our hearts. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, God doesn't need your treasure. He wants your heart. He just knows that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so our generosity, the way we give, the way we handle finances, it reveals our priorities. It reveals the condition of our hearts. Can I just tell you this morning that God, because He's our creator, He understands our internal wiring like no one else. He understands how easy it is for us to live with a scarcity mindset, how easy it is to get caught up in frivolous and materialistic spending, how easy it is to only worry about ourselves and not have enough to help other people. And He knows the very antidote for this sickness in our souls is this thing called generosity. It's countercultural. It's counterintuitive. It's the very last thing you would think you would do, but it's the very thing that can bring healing to your soul. It's the very thing that can bring peace to your soul. The only way to break the control that money can have over your life, and let me just tell you this morning, there are a lot of people in this affluent culture that we live in this New York City metro area. They think they have money, but money has them. Are you with me this morning? They think they have money, but money has them. The only way to break the control that money can have over our lives is to give some away and to honor God and generosity, to live a generous life. And can I tell you this morning, this isn't something we have to do. This isn't something we do dragging and kicking and screaming. This is something we get to do, because there is a purpose that comes to your life. There's a joy that comes to your life. Would you picture this with me this morning? Imagine becoming this kind of person. Imagine your life being so generous that God uses you to bless other people, that God uses you to bless His kingdom, to bless His work, to further His work, that His blessing comes. Can you picture this with me? Can you picture what our church would be able to do? I know some people would say, well, Pastor, if I gave more like that, what are you going to do? Are you going to buy a private jet? No. I've lived in a duplex in Harrison for the last couple of years. I'm buying a house right now. We're fixing it up. We're painting it. We'll have you over for a barbecue. You can see. It's cute. It's modest. But, you know, if you want to come over and help paint this week, let me know. Give me a shout. Okay? You know what we would do? What we would do if more people gave generously like this, if more people got radically committed to being generous like Jesus calls us to as His followers, we would be able to reach more people in our community with the gospel. Come on. We would be able to feed more hungry people, clothe more naked people, love on more kids who are in poverty, reach more people, give more to missions, plant more churches, touch more lives around the world. This is a good time to say, yeah, I want to go to a church like that. I want to be a generous person. I want to have a greater vision. God, expand my vision. I don't want to live with a scarcity mindset. I don't want to have a small little soul. I want to be somebody who lives with a big mindset of what God, what You could do through my life, what You could do through our church. I look forward to the day when this church is known for being generous. When you hear the name Redemption in this community, people say, oh my gosh, that's that generous church. My gosh, that's that church. You wouldn't believe what they did in our community. You wouldn't believe how they touched families in need. I don't know what those crazy people believe over there in that worshiping in a movie theater, but I know one thing. If you need something, that's the church to call. Come on. Are you with me this morning? This is what God has called us to. Can I tell you, in this culture that we live in this decaying culture that we live in, that is obsessed with more stuff, more toys, more money, more. Can I tell you that the very thing that our culture needs to see is some people who are radically committed to the principle of God's word, radically generous. Because to live this way, like we just described today, it would be radically generous. But I tell you one thing, it would turn the world upside down. It would make a difference in the community that we live in. It would make a difference in the lives of the people who are around us. And it would make a difference first and foremost in you and your life. Imagine looking back one day and saying, over the years, man, I made some blunders with my money. Man, I blew some money on this or that. I wish I wouldn't have spent that. You know what you'll never regret at the end of your life? Your generosity. You will never, at the end of your life, look back and say, I wish I would have gave less to the work of God. I wish I would have, you know, I wish less, you know, there were less times that I stepped up and made a difference in somebody's life. I wish, you know, I hadn't given so much to the poor. You'll never say that. But imagine getting to the end of your life and looking back and saying, God, You did more with my life than I ever could have imagined, because I made the decision to become generous now. I want this for You. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you. We're going to ask God to help us with this. We're going to pray and say, God, help us to embrace this. Everything we've learned the past few weeks, we don't want to lose any of the lessons. We want to take these things to heart. We want to make change in our lives. We want to honor God with our finances. We want to know peace. We want to live generous. We want to use wisdom. And so we're going to pray. Would you pray with me? And let's make this just a prayer of commitment. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace, for Your love. We thank You for the principles of Your word. God, we thank You that You are the greatest giver the world has ever known. For God, You so loved the world that You gave Your one and only Son. You emptied the riches of heaven when You sent Your Son, Jesus, for us to go to the cross and die a criminal's death for our sins. We thank You that You've given so much to us today. And God, we want to be more like You. Lord, today we're asking for Your help. We recognize our own limitations. God, we're asking You to do this work in us. God, we're asking You for wisdom. God, we're asking You for self-control. God, we're asking You to expand our hearts, expand our sanctified, Holy Spirit-inspired imagination so that we can see what it would be like to live this kind of life, to embrace this kind of life, to be radical givers, people who are focused on eternal principles, the things that will never go away. God, that we would invest, that we would lay up treasure in heaven, as the scripture says, for eternal principles, for Your kingdom. God, make us those kind of people. God, make us that kind of church, God. Father, I pray that Lord, Redemption would become the kind of church that, Lord, we're known for being the most loving and generous people in this community, Father. Help us. Help us to begin to embrace and earn that kind of reputation, God. Do it for our church. Make us those kinds of people. And that kind of church. Would you pray that with me? God, make me that kind of person and make us that kind of church. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And now I want to pray for the person who's in this room, who you're longing for more purpose as you hear me preach and teach about giving your life to something bigger than you and for living your life for eternal purposes. There's a tug on your heart. Even as you hear this message today, there's something tugging on your heart to say, yeah, I want to know life. I want something that's more than just about acquiring and status and all these things. I want to know God's purpose for my life. Can I tell you that's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart today? And can I tell you that God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus. He has extravagantly given his son for you, and he wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. So if that's you and you feel God tugging on your heart today, would you just take a moment to pray with me to say, yes, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know this life. I want to know God's purposes for my life. If that's you, would you pray with me? Jesus, I give you my yes today. I want to follow you. I want to know this kind of life. I want to have a greater purpose in my life. And so I receive you as my Savior. I receive your Spirit. I turn from my sins and I choose to follow you. Come into my life today. I receive you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.